And again, the website, drdaY.com. Dr. Lorraine Day, my guest tonight. We come together once a month on the fourth Wednesday of the month to spend 3 hours and entertain your questions, try to inform and educate you on how to stay well, and if you aren't well, how to get well, and if you are well, how to get even to be more healthy. There's always room for improvement. Okay, Andrea is on the phone from San Diego now, has a question for Dr. Day. Hello, Andrea, can you hear me all right, and what's your question?
I can hear you fine, Jeff, thanks.
Good.
Hi, Dr. Day.
Hello.
Before I ask my question, I wanted to share something with you that I just found out recently. Ever since you began speaking about fluoride,
right.
I recently moved into the San Diego area, and I went onto the official government website and typed in the word fluoride, and it connected me to a link which was a short article about fluoride. And the article said that it wasn't, and this was, I think, 2003, the article, but it said that it currently fluoride wasn't being used in the water, but the state of California mandates it if a private donor pays for it. And so now, as I understand it, San Diego, at least the city of San Diego, has fluoride in the water. And my question is, I'll hang up after just so I can hear what you say.
But don't hang up. Just ask the question, but don't hang up because
okay.
I might want to ask you a question.
Okay. I'm just wondering what could we do to, if it's in the water, you're showering with it,
showering with it and taking a bath with it is a tiny problem. Just don't drink it. All right.
Don't cook with it. Don't drink with it.
Don't cook with it and don't drink it, and just get bottled water. Get either purified drinking water or distilled water, and you can buy it through a water company, or you can buy a distiller for about $200, and you can permanently make your own distilled water, and you can just be fluoride free. Don't worry about it because you take a bath in it or you take a shower in it. That is a very small part. I was concerned about that when I was getting well from cancer, but it had no effect on my getting well. So we've got to really major in majors and not major in minors. And all of the things about pesticides are not good for you. You shouldn't eat them. If you get your food organically grown, you won't have them. But if you can only get certain amounts, and on San Diego, a place like that, you can get organically grown food easily. But some people who live in North Dakota or places like that, you do the best that you can, and then you peel and wash thoroughly the rest, and then God will bless you for it. But don't get all bent out of shape about it. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. In fact, I follow your good sound advice, and I have no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thanks very much, and keep up
okay.
the good work.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sure. Right. Thanks for calling, Andrea.
Uh-huh.
Right. Washing bodies and washing cars, it's all right.
Yeah.
Might hurt the car too.
Right. It's not good. I'm not at all for fluoride, but any time I can join in a petition against it, I do. But I don't spend a whole lot of my life. There are people who do. That's their issue, and that's okay. And I support them in it. But there are so many of those things that they're doing. You could spend all of your time being an activist about all the things that they're doing. But what you can do is you can not eat their bad stuff and not drink their bad water, and tell other people and have your families eat well and drink well, and then you're all right.
I don't imagine you're so busy you had a chance to hear the program of the 18th, but any of you out there who missed it, go to the archives, and hopefully your members, subscribers, and listen to last May 18th, well, a week ago tonight. I had Yakima Valley apple farmer Ron Wilson on, and multi-generational family farmer Bill Shepherd on, who has been working for many years to help farmers in distress. And these two guys, in 2 hours, put out some information that was absolutely riveting and shocking. The USDA, that little green label, USDA organic, we've seen on so many packaged foods and canned foods and stuff. You know what that means now? I didn't know this. USDA certified organic. They changed the law, the regulation.
Right.
A year, year and a half ago. Nobody, I didn't hear about it, and I should have. That product, whatever it is, packaged, frozen, canned, doesn't matter, bottled, if it says USDA on it, organic, has to only have 25% content being truly organic to qualify.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to trust the USDA for anything.
That's it. Yeah. 25%. 75% can be pesticides, hormones, toxins, chemicals, heavy metals, you name it, pharmaceuticals, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it gets that label on there because 25% is supposedly organic.
That's why, you know, I don't read labels. As I've said many times, I don't buy anything with a label on it.
All right, well, that little stamp they put on it.
Right.
A little round USDA organic.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
USDA is a joke.
Well, Ann Veneman, I never saw anybody lie, well, next to the president,
right,
lie as much as Ann Veneman did,
right,
in the mad cow scare. That woman lied so much, I think that's why she quit. She lied so much it probably embarrassed her.
Right. Well, not only that, see, the other thing is when these people do this, they're all going to reap what they have sown. Some way, they're going to reap it. When people lie like that,
yeah,
it's all going to come back to them.
Well, Julie's a little more shrewd about it. Anne was just right out there, bald-faced lying.
Julie Gerberding, she's pretty blatant about it, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a pretty sad thing to watch them up there. Just what we know and what many of you listening know and what they say, they don't fit together.
That's right.
Doesn't happen.
Right.
The story about the school changing the diet, the prison changing the diet, we need to all of us, keep that in mind. It extrapolates right to your home.
That's
the
right.
Same thing will happen. You having trouble with your kids? Get them off the crap, the junk food. Stop letting them poison their bodies. And watch what happens. Watch what happens to your whole family. Even if you only do it one night a week, have an all-natural, all-organic meal. It's a start.
Get
and
the soda
start
out
somewhere.
Of your refrigerator. You say, well, my kids will get it other places. Well, maybe they will, but you're not going to be giving it to them. So you at least cut down that much, and you start having a good example, and you start explaining to them what it's going to do to them. And kids don't want to be irritable and irritated and feel uncomfortable. They don't want that.
Who does?
No.
No.
And so when you start getting the sugar out of their diet, and you have to be an example yourself. You can't expect your kid not to want sugar if you're eating it all the time.
Right.
So get all those things out of their diet. Mothers, you are in charge of the food at home. Make sure that you have a family dinner, that everybody sits around, has breakfast together, and dinner at night together, and talk to each other. And your life will change. Turn off the television set.
What is the average daily dose of meaningful conversation between...
Oh, I think it's something like 3 to 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, and that's maximum. Between spouses and children, but I think it's spouses. And can't remember what it is for kids, but it's pretty grim.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's all being taught in the schools and through the media, that your family is not necessarily your friend. Your friends are your friends, and they're pushing kids away from family every day.
Yeah.
Every single day, pushing them further away. Did I tell you I had a chance to go chaperone a high school prom again this year?
No, tell us.
Oh, man.
How was it?
Horrendous.
Tell me, how
no,
was
no,
it?
It's all DJs now. Huge speakers, right?
Yeah.
110, 115 decibels.
Yeah.
It starts at 8:30. Doesn't stop one moment for 3 hours.
Ugh.
Song after song, they just blend them into the next one. And one song melts into another.
Screaming, angry.
Oh, yeah. Pace, all cadence. Boom, the same beat. Or they'll alter it once in a while and go to a slow beat. They are blasting these kids with basically EMF is what it is, and it has a hormonal response.
Yeah.
It's a baseline hormonal response, but this is an upper middle class white, if you will, high school.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, my job was to hang out at the stage, up on the stage, and survey the crowd to interrupt inappropriate touching, fondling, sex acts, and all the rest of it. I'm not joking. They don't dance anymore, Lorraine.
They don't? What do they do? They fondle each other?
They don't dance. I'll just tell you what I saw. This is what's going on now. First of all, it's not individuals out there dancing. This is a hive. It's group. It's group think. It's group speak. It's group behavior.
Group dancing?
They're hanging out. One big group. Girls with girls. Not too many guys with guys. But, let me finish the story when we come back. Every year it gets worse. And this goes on all over the place. They learn it on television. I would say, at least, and I could determine this, I've been around, half of the kids were on drugs or booze. At least half. And it's probably ecstasy. That's the big party drug. And they never stopped to go get a drink of water. They were sweating profusely. And one of the, of course, cautions about ecstasy is you don't drink water. When you're not supposed to do that because you can actually overdose on water. But anyway, I'll tell you the rest of it, how they're dancing after this. Okay, welcome back, Jeff, with Dr. Lorraine Day. Prom 1965-75 was much different. Prom 1985, this is an MTV thing is what it is. Prom 2005, several hundred kids, most of them in one group. Now, they're dancing together, if you can use the word dancing anymore, but it's a hive. It's a hive. You can't walk between them. You go down there to try to break somebody up or move somebody. You have to push your way through them almost. It's a hive.
So they're just a mass of people all touching each other.
That's right. Basically, rubbing, bumping. It's a hive. They're just used to walk across the room and ask someone to dance. No more. You come with one person usually. You stay with that person the way it looks from beginning to end. Now, the faces. The drugged ones, and I don't think it was booze, it was ecstasy or whatever. The expressions on their faces don't change. Once in a while, there'll be a laugh. But if you go up and say something to them, like, you need to back off a little bit, they don't hear you. Their faces don't change. If you touch them on the shoulder, there's no response. They're dancing. This is dancing. You have to actually grab them on the arm and kind of shake them, and then they'll look over, and there'll be a flicker of recognition. You'll say something, and then they'll just turn and walk deeper into the hive and continue what they were doing. And what they were doing was not dancing. The girl, in most cases, not all, is straddling the guy's, one of his legs, his thigh, and they're grinding on each other, up and down, perfectly in cadence to the music, the beat, the cadence, this baseline cadence. They're grinding up and down. It's masturbation is what it is.
Wow.
I'm not saying they're all doing this. I'm saying there is a significant proportion that is, in fact, doing this. The rest of them do this on occasion during the night and other things. Now, if they're dancing face-to-face, the girl is riding the guy's leg more often than not. If they're dancing where she's facing away from him, it's the same thing, but the guy is on the back and the girl's in the front, and they're grinding on each other that way.
So they don't ever just dance?
No. They're moving,
but they're
in
not dancing.
Cadence,
yeah,
to the music. They're being controlled by this rhythmic beat, if you will.
Right.
And they're all as if on strings, and they're being manipulated. They're all doing the same thing, and it's grim. The eyes, again, there's nothing going on there. It's this almost, it's too intense what they're doing. And sometimes one guy will have two girls, one on each thigh.
Oh, my word.
They're going up and down, up and down. The girls dress skimpy.
Yeah.
That doesn't come close. Anyway, you know, these are football players, athletes. These are our student school leaders. These are good, clean-cut kids on the surface of it all. But this is their entertainment milieu. This is what they see on television, in the movies, and on MTV. This is what the music lyrics, and we all know what the lyrics are like now, or at least most of us, tell them is cool and is acceptable. Get laid. That's good.
Yeah.
That's healthy. And there are no inhibitions. And you're an idiot if you talk about restraint.
Right.
The peer pressure is ruthless. I am, and it gets worse every year.
Well, if you were there as a chaperone or whatever, you couldn't do anything because...
Not much. Because they just move away into the crowd further.
Right.
And it's kind of dark in there, and, you know, they know what they're doing. And so I had to pretty much revise what I was told I would do. Otherwise, I'd be pushing most of them off the dance floor.
Yeah.
So you go for the most egregious violators. And, you know, the guy has both of his hands on the girl's rear end, and he's helping her grind up and down on his thigh. I mean, this is... It's masturbation. Is exactly
what it is.
Well, it's
incredible because first of all, the kids aren't enjoying being teenagers.
Oh, no, there's no fun teen stuff there at all.
No.
They're living roles they've been told to live by the media.
Yeah.
And that's why when they're 18, 19, you look in their eyes, not all of them, many of them, and they look like they're 35, 40 years old.
Yeah. There's nothing
there. They're burnt out. What else is there? Is that all there is?
Right.
Is that all there is? And anyway, it's very sad, and at the end of the evening, they're completely shot, sweated through, barely able to walk, and boy, when the lights come on, whatever, quote, romance there was about the evening is shattered with these horribly drawn and depleted faces.
Oh,
it's
my.
Pretty grim.
Look, wait.
You know, there's some kids that go and have fun, all right? I don't want to say there aren't, because there are. They hang around the edges, the back, but those hardcore half, I would say, 50% of the total group, that hangs out closest to the music, where it's loudest up front, where they can grind and do all the things they do. Those kids are going nowhere in a hurry, and I feel very sorry for them, because as you say, there's no interaction, there's no conversation, there's no one learning about someone else's interests or anything, nothing like that. It's all this incredible form and style that is rigidly adhered to by those most socially hip and cool amongst them.
If those socially hip and cool really understood that the Tavistock Institute created this beat to get them to be zombies just like they have become, it wouldn't have been quite so cool.
No, well, they don't have, many of them, unfortunately, the intellectual tools to even begin to approach something like that academically, let alone accepting it. So, that's a good point. Anyway, that's prom 2005, and this was a very normal, very average school.
Wow.
And watch MTV sometime. You'll see. It's the same thing.
Do I have to?
No, you don't.
Good.
I haven't seen it for many years. I knew in the beginning. I said, this is going to take them all down the road to depravity, free sex, drugs, disease. What's the evidence now? HPV is running beyond epidemic levels, and that does lead to very serious problems, among other things. Okay, anyway, that's just a glimpse at prom. It's very sad.
It is.
Back with more in just a minute. Okay, welcome back. Did you see the documentary Super Size Me?
Yes. Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, and I just can't wait to get a hold of it. I guess it's rentable now.
It's great.
Pretty good, huh?
Oh, great. Yeah.
He's written. Oh, by the way, just for you folks, one more time: 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. That's our phone number. Morgan Spurlock ate McDonald's. So those of you who don't know about Super Size Me, he ate McDonald's food. I hate to say food, you know. just say, he ate McDonald's. How's that?
Yeah.
And that's food. Every day for a month, and recorded the stomach-churning results in his film Super Size Me. Now in an extract, this is an article in The Independent in the UK, from his new book, Spurlock reveals the things he did not say in the movie about Ronald McDonald and his campaign to win the hearts of our young. Big article. Headed up...
What's the name of his new book?
Let me find it. The name of his new book. I tear some. It's a huge article. Let me read a little bit of it here. Every waking moment of our lives, we swim in an ocean of advertising. All of it telling us the same thing. Consume, consume, and then consume some more. The epidemic of overconsumption begins with the things we put in our mouths. The United States is the fattest nation on earth. 65% of American adults are overweight. 30% are obese. 30% of adults are obese. You go out into a shopping mall, any of you folks look around you. It's frightening. And you know what's weird, Lorraine? A lot of these young adults, I don't know, fat teens, they insist on wearing these.
Oh.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
I know. You would think they would want to cover up their ugly bodies, but they want to exploit them and show them off as though they're proud of them.
They have these midriff exposing T-shirts.
Yeah.
And they're. I saw one. I'm sorry. The human body fat is not a pretty sight.
No.
This girl, late teens, had purple lines around her hips and her back from her obesity. The skin
stretch
had actually...
marks.
Yeah, but she hadn't been pregnant. These are just fat stretch marks.
Yeah.
She had something in her navel. And this big fat gut is just tumbling out.
I know. They seem to have no shame whatsoever. By the way, I don't know if you heard about that article in the Archives of Internal Medicine just recently, that only 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle. 3%. 3%. As defined by their compliance with the following four behaviors. Number one, they do not smoke. They do not maintain a healthy weight. Or they do maintain, they do not smoke. They maintain a healthy weight. They eat enough fruits and vegetables every day, and they get regular physical activity.
3%?
3% do those things. 3%.
Oh, man. I would have hoped for 15 or maybe 15, 18.
3%.
It's over.
Yeah. That's right. 3%.
You know,
those things are easy to do.
They're easy, and you know what else? They're supposed to be natural.
Right. 3%. Here's another little thing. This is not on the health thing. This would better go in the first hour. Israel's national legislature, the Knesset, has unanimously passed legislation that would make questioning details about the Jewish Holocaust of World War II anywhere in the world an offense under Israeli jurisdiction. If a student or historian in America, for example, publicly disputed controversial aspects of the Holocaust, he can be kidnapped, brought to Israel, and thrown in jail.
Who? Who? Who can be kidnapped?
Anybody in the world.
What is this? Is like they're going after Eichmann?
They're going after everyone who questions the Holocaust. Anywhere in the world.
So, in other words...
Talk about chutzpah, huh?
It's now illegal to be an historian to study the past.
That's correct. In any country, already it's against the law in the various countries, such as Austria, Sweden, Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, they're passing laws all over the place.
Israel has said that if anybody in the world who is a citizen of any nation in the world questions the Holocaust, that Israel has the right to go there, kidnap them, take them back to Israel, and put them in prison. This was in the American Free Press last week.
I saw the story originally when the legislation or whatever it was formulated and presented to the Knesset. I thought it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing.
No.
Well, what is the organization Bush signed off on, which creates an international organization to oversee anti-Semitism? A worldwide watchdog organization paid for by you guys.
Right.
Our tax dollars now policing the world.
Right.
For whatever anti-Semitism is.
Right.
That's incredible. Well, I guess, you know, we get what we deserve, and only 3% of Americans are healthy, 97% are fat and obese, and that's just not only the body, folks, it extends into the mind, the soul, the spirit,
right. All
of it.
Right. And, you know, there'll be some people say, well, that's not bad, you know, not bad. I've heard people say that, and they have no clue.
They don't know. No, they don't know.
They don't have a clue as to what they're in for.
Totally brainwashed. Yeah. Wow. Spurlock's new book is called Don't Eat This Book.
It's more healthier than the food.
Kind of cute. Yeah, let me read a little bit more here. In the decade between 1991 and 2001, obesity figures doubled in the U.S. But the truly shocking thing is that we've taught our children how to be fat, too. And yes, how many times have all of us seen, and a lot of you listening probably are fat, probably are obese, some of you. And I'm sorry. You got there, you can get out of it. But you see, to me, it's criminal when I see an obese parent with two or three obese children, 6, 8, 9 years old. These kids don't have a chance. They are literally being physically abused. There is no other way to term it.
Well, what you have to think about is the parents are killing their children.
They are.
And
it's absolute child abuse.
And I would suggest that parents who look down into a casket of a child that died of a disease at a young age have to at least think, did I contribute to this by what I
did? Did I do my best?
Child?
Did I? That's right. Or was my kid overweight when he was 12?
Right.
Were his arteries beginning to block up when he was 15, 16?
Right.
Did she have diabetes when she was 13?
Yeah.
All right. We'll pause and come right back. Jeffrey in Connecticut, thanks for being patient. You're up on the call line next, and we'll speak to Jeffrey after this. I didn't pick that one, folks. Honest. Gee. All right. In Connecticut, Jeffrey, thanks for being patient. Your turn. Welcome to the program. What is your question for Dr. Day?
Hello. Dr. Day, I'm legally blind, and I've been diagnosed with a retinal schisis and also partial retinal separation. And the doctors, you know, they don't see anything they can do for me. And I don't want to lose my eyesight. It's been a gradual decline.
Did you have an injury earlier?
Well, actually, I had a open heart surgery when I was age 17.
For what?
It was a mitral valve replacement. And after,
you had MVP?
No, the valve
just failed.
Just got infected. Somehow got infected, and so they had to replace it. And after that, my eyes started to go because I could drive at that point.
What would cause a retinal detachment? Any guesses, Dr. Day?
Well, yeah, retinal detachments are probably heavily associated with dehydration because the eye has many layers and they need to stick together. And when they become detached, then you have big problems. And so you look at what happens if an onion is
dehydrated, the layers will separate.
Interesting. Well,
the doctors told me that they had discovered I had holes back by the retinas, and they discovered this 1 year after the heart surgery. At 18, yes. And there was fluid leaking in through those holes.
After the heart surgery, did they put you on blood thinners?
Oh, yes.
That's another thing that can cause deterioration of your eyesight.
I've been on Coumadin ever since. I'm still on it.
How old are you now?
I'm 46 now.
Yeah, Coumadin is a big killer.
Yes.
30 years.
It's sort of a mute point because I need it. I have an artificial mitral valve. And, without that, I have all these clots.
Well, the thing that you have to say, I'm not telling you to stop your Coumadin. I'm just telling you that the side effects of Coumadin are just horrendous.
I've heard that, yeah.
And what is it that causes blood to be thick? There are two main things that cause blood to be thick. Number one, dehydration. And number two, animal fat in the blood. Now, dehydration can be caused from a number of things. Dehydration can be caused by not drinking enough water. Dehydration can be caused by drinking coffee or caffeinated beverages that take water out of your body. Dehydration can be caused by stress. Dehydration can be caused by eating animal products, because animal products take a lot of water out of your cells in order to be processed and digested. So all those things cause dehydration. When you don't have enough water in your body, you can't make enough serum to make your blood thin enough.
Well, I've been trying to drink half a gallon a day. I've been doing that for the last 8 years.
Two quarts of water a day in a 24-hour period.
Okay.
You say you've been trying to. How successful
what does that
are
mean?
You?
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't been, consistent all the time.
Can you tell me why?
Oh, it's just because I've gone out somewhere else.
You take your water along?
No, I haven't.
I never leave home without my bottle of water, ever.
Yeah.
I take it every place I go.
Yeah, it's a 5-gallon bottle, too.
Because I'm very strong. But we went to see the graduation of one of my husband's grandchildren, and I take my water into that church.
Oh.
All right?
Yeah.
Not the five gallon jug, but a small bottle. But who is in control of whether you get enough water or not?
I'm supposed to be.
Are you just supposed to be?
Well, I get myself when I go over to other people's houses.
But the thing is, you don't want to go blind, do you?
No, I don't.
So how important is this to you?
Well, it's very important.
Well, then you're in control and you should be able to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay? Because nobody has you in prison or has your hands tied behind your back, do they?
No, they don't.
So then you are the one that's in charge. Now, the other thing is animal products have a lot of fat in them.
Right.
And they make your blood thick, too.
I'm a vegetarian.
Total vegan?
No, I've been eating the cheese.
Okay, well, that's fat.
Yes, I know it is. I'm trying to cut it all out
it's
now.
It's liquid meat. Listen, Jeffrey, come on.
Don't say
I'm trying to cut it out.
Don't try. I mean, you're in control. No one's forcing it down your throat.
Right. That's right.
If you don't want to go blind...
Are you on your knees? Is that cheese holding a bullwhip over you? Come on. You own the cheese, right? You can go in the fridge right now and throw the damn stuff out. You are the boss. You're empowered. You're not a victim. You don't try to do anything. You do it.
Right. Yes, you're right.
So if you don't want to go blind, you're in charge of it.
Right. Right.
Okay?
So I should just put away then all the cheese and all the...
No, you don't put it away. You throw it away.
Throw it away. Well,
give it to someone you don't like.
Yeah. Throw it away. Don't even give it to your enemies. Throw it away. I mean, the thing is, if you were a smoker and preparing to stop, would you keep a pack of cigarettes in your pocket?
No.
Well, then get rid of the cheese.
Even soy cheese?
You don't want soy either. Soy is not good for you.
There's some rice. There's some rice, cheese.
You can make cheese out of cashew nuts.
Oh. Oh. Okay. I was using soy for cereal.
You can use, here's the way. I'll give you a quick recipe for that.
Okay.
Take a cup of cashew nuts, put them in your blender, blend them up so they're real fine, with a cup of water. Cup of water and a cup of cashew nuts.
Okay.
The first thing you do is you soak the cashew nuts in that cup of water overnight.
These are raw, uncooked
raw cashew nuts.
All right.
Okay. Raw cashew nuts. You first soak a cup of raw cashew nuts in a cup of water overnight in a bowl on your kitchen counter. Just put a piece of paper towel over it. Leave it overnight.
Okay.
The next morning, take it and then the water and the cashew nuts and put it in your blender. And blend it up real smooth. And pour it back in the same bowl, put the same paper towel over it, leave it overnight again. By the next day, you have a cheese that's much like ricotta cheese. You can flavor it with garlic or salt or dill or whatever you want.
Oh.
And you've got a wonderful cheese that you can use as cheese to go in manicotti, cheese to go in lasagna, cheese to go in all of those things.
Does it still taste like cashew?
No, it tastes like cheese. You can make macaroni and cheese.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fun.
But you do have to flavor, you know, you have to put some seasoning in it.
Yeah, the world of seasoning and flavors you could use.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it's how simple can it be?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Well,
all right?
Fascinating.
So, but the thing is, you're in control. You have to do it. Don't ever say again, you're trying.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you would like to, or not as good as you should. Just do it.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
Jeffrey, look, you've survived a lot of stuff. You've survived 30 years of chemical slavery and abuse, because that Coumadin is not good for you.
Right.
You've got a lot to be thankful for.
Oh, I am.
Okay? So you need to take care of the body you have, and it will serve you well, even in its somewhat impaired condition. It can come back, it can get stronger, and you must take charge, and you must stop doing the things that further debilitate your condition, and cheese and dairy products are one of them.
Right, yes, because I definitely don't want to lose the sight. I mean, it's...
All right, well, drink a lot, and not a joke.
You're in control.
You're in control. Drink a lot of fruit juices if you can't make them. Go to your nearby health food store. They have beautiful, organic, fresh-pressed, fresh fruit juices.
But you're better off if you just eat the fruit and drink water.
Right.
And it's because sugar, make sure you don't have sugar in anything. Don't eat sugar because sugar is one of the major causes of macular degeneration and cataracts and all of these things.
Okay.
All right, listen.
No refined sugar.
No.
You pay attention and take charge of your life and call us up in a month, and we want to hear a good report.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Sure,
thanks,
you're welcome.
Jeff. All right. Every time I hear that, you've been hearing it forever. I don't know. I'm trying to cut down on the meat.
Right.
I'm trying to stop.
Yeah, who's
drinking.
Forcing it down your throat?
I'm trying to stop drinking 2 quarts of milk a day.
Right.
I really am. I'm trying.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that food addictions are as strong as cocaine.
Well, it's because of what they put in them.
That's right.
Appetite triggers galore.
Well, even without all that, sugar is just a tremendous addicting substance, refined sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people are so tied to their food that many times they would rather die. And I will point out, for those of you who believe in the Bible, the first temptation was about food.
It is.
The whole world fell on the temptation of food. And when Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, the first temptation was food. You're hungry? Make these stones into bread. And Jesus did not fall for that temptation and won the world back because it was lost on the temptation of food.
Interesting. Well, we are a nation of food addicts.
That's right.
Look around you when you go out. Man, it's amazing.
I can't tell you how many people have said to me, even the people who have cancer, oh, I could never eat like that. I say, then you're going to die.
It's the simple truth.
Right.
I used to, wear large shirts. You put on the average large shirt now, it's like a tent. Everything's sized bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're out of time.
Okay.
You take care, and we'll see you next month.
Next time. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. www.drday.com. Probably the most important site for health that you'll ever run across. drday.com. See you tomorrow night.